You are now listening to.
You are now listening to.
You are now listening to.
Black women.
Black women. No chaser.
You are now listening to.
No chaser.
Black women. No chaser.
No chaser.
Black women. No chaser.
You are now listening to. Black women. No chaser.
Okay. Cheers.
Cheers.
No, say cheers.
Cheers.
Hey, 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 hey. One day we gotta like rap.
Okay, we gotta spit a hot 16.
Yeah, just a little bit, just a little bit.
Do a little something on the track.
Just a little something.
A little something on the track.
What's Arn's producer name? I don't know. Hey, they heard you. We got him finally. Yeah, we have been trying to get Arn to make noise on this podcast the whole time, and we finally. No, we got him.
Don't edit that out.
Do not edit this out.
We need people to know that you're real.
Oh, this feels so good. This is a good sign. Vindication. This is a good episode it already.
It is. The aftermath of violence. That's what this episode is.
Ooh, the aftermath of violence. Mm-hmm. The aftermath of violence, your violence. Welcome to Black Women No Chaser, y'all. My name is Gabby.
And I'm Bonnie.
Oh, yes. Yes, you are. And that was Arn. Got him. All right. If you don't know, Black Women No Chaser is the premier Black Women's podcast. We're just playing. We just, the premier podcast, period. Okay? Mm-hmm. Let's jump right in it. What are we drinking? What are we sipping on?
Pruno.
This is a pretty Pruno.
Yeah.
This drink is inspired by today's topic.
Facts.
Love after lockup, jail romances,
And just jail culture. Like
jail culture, yeah.
Because we had to understand, we had to get into character. I had Gabby looking at videos about swoles.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Who we giving flowers to? Oh, what's in the pretty Pruno? The pretty Pruno has. Okay, so my part was I had some apples. And blackberry soaking in a sweet red wine. They did not sponsor us, so we don't say no names. Mm-hmm. And Amber brought.
So we added, we mixed a shot of Grand Marnier and Courvoisier.
Good Lord.
Because we wanted to bring that brandy cognac-y kind of feel to it.
That septic toilet.
Mm-hmm. That fermented flavor.
That fermented and shit flavor.
Negative pressure.
Negative pressure in the toilet. Yo, okay.
All right, more on that later. More on that later.
Crazy.
60 days in, love after lockup.
Is
y'all.
Our shit.
Yeah.
Okay, pretty Pruno. So who's getting their flowers today?
Oh, it also has a rosé in it.
Oh, it has does have the rosé. Yeah, oh, has, shout out to Snoop.
Yeah, Snoop Dogg's 19 Crimes wine has a rosé for the summer. So get you some pink wine.
That's so funny. 19 Crimes. Nectar. Did we even?
No, my God.
We didn't
no,
make
we
that
didn't.
Connection.
Wow.
Clandestine.
Wow. All
right, y'all. Who's getting their flowers today?
Michael.
Michael who?
From Flint.
Michael from Flint. So why are we giving Michael from Flint flowers? Or he's a Zeta male? I'm confused.
He might be the Zeta male.
He might be both.
Here's the thing. I want to be in awe of him, but I'm also disgusted. Because how are you moving like this? And how are people allowing you to move like this?
I want to give him his flowers for pimping in people's face.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. Mm-hmm. Like, he played, when people say playing people's face, like, he really did it.
He did.
And they knew. And they were okay with it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, all across town.
And all across the country. Yeah. All across the country.
Yeah.
So Flint. He had a girlfriend in, you know he had somebody in Flint.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, the girl he was making out with on the street was in Flint.
No, she was in Ithaca.
No,
it she was they in were Flint. In Ithaca.
He was living in Ithaca at the time, but he was from Flint.
Oh, well, when they were kissing
he went
on the
back
street.
Home. Yeah, he was kissing her on the street in Flint.
No, it said Ithaca.
You sure?
We can watch it. You know we can watch it.
Oh, yeah, I'm down.
Listen, so regardless, he had Marie in Miami, okay, Megan in Texas.
Do we need to explain more about Michael?
Yes.
Okay, so Michael was a guy who he's from Flint, Michigan, and he went to jail in upstate New York.
Mm-hmm.
How he got there, we're not completely sure, but I think that his father, who I think did pass when he was living. He lived in upstate New York, and maybe Michael went to visit him or something. That's the vibe I got over a few seasons, and that's how he ended up catching a charge there, going to jail there, meeting his baby mama, who married him there, married him in prison. While he was in prison, he was also talking to and engaged to a girl named Megan, who was from Dallas.
He met Megan because his friend
was like, oh, dating. My cousin needs somebody to talk to.
Yeah, his friend was dating Megan's cousin.
Or Megan, no. He's Megan's cousin's friend.
Okay, Megan's cousin's friend. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So Megan met him through her cousin.
If any of my cousins, okay, never mind, go ahead.
My cousins would never need to talk to somebody that's in jail.
Never. Ever, ever. Mm-mm. Ever, ever. Ever, ever?
Ever, ever. Ever.
Mm-mm. Okay, so, and then...
He meets Maria.
They don't ever tell us that part. How did he meet Maria? And I'm pretty sure Maria... I'm pretty sure Maria is, again, going to be a part of this culture conversation of, like, jail culture, where she came along because of a result of him being on the show. And her wanting to join this harem of stupid people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Or thinking she can rein his life in because she's older than him. And you can tell it's by a considerable amount.
Oh, definitely. But also, she's Latina. And we don't age well on that side. I know myself. I know. I'm blessed because I got the melanin.
Yeah, I was going to say, girl, it's the white parts.
There. Yeah, it's the Anglo-Saxon part. Mm-hmm. It's the colonizer that seeps out your pores.
Yeah. Yeah, sis is not.
Because Sofia Vergara got like 5 more years.
Mm-hmm.
She got like 5 more years, and then she's gonna look like the lady that killed Selena.
We ain't seen Selma Hayek in a while.
Selma Hayek keeps marrying billionaires, so she keeps her shit tight. She keeps changing her face. Like, she looks different. She's the surgery is one with her. But like, as far as like Sofia Vergara and like ones that are like semi trying to keep it natural, they're gonna look like the lady who killed Selena in like 2 weeks.
Oh God, Yolanda Saldivar.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fuck Yolanda.
Forever. Ain't she dead?
Yeah. We're gonna say, so moving on, Zeta Male of the Day is who?
Is it Michael?
It's Michael as well.
Yeah.
Why is Michael a Zeta Male?
Michael's a Zeta Male because he plays on the sentiments of women and he doesn't even bring anything to the situation but braids.
Not even good braids, not even thick ones, not even lush ones.
Like, the thing is, his hair's semi thick, but his hair is not grown in 4 seasons.
Mm mm.
And a spinoff.
Stress. They had a spinoff?
Well, Life After Lockup.
Oh, okay. That's okay.
Yeah.
All right. That counts.
Some of the couples that make it to Life After Lockup. Scott and Lizzie made it to like 1 season of Life After Lockup.
And so Megan is a singer. That's her profession?
Now. But I think she was like a home health aide when they first started this.
Okay. So then she's now in the stew.
We don't know because we don't really see Megan anymore.
Okay. All right. So... let's trigger ourselves.
Let's ask a black woman.
Let's ask a black woman.
All right.
And don't forget, you guys can call in and ask a black woman a question. Or if you don't want to, quote unquote, call in, you can submit one and DM us. There are plenty of options, guys. And shout out to everybody who has already
submitted a question.
You know, I do have a question for black women.
Do you?
Black women are by far the most educated demographic in America. When you think about that, it means that black women are usually more educated and more accomplished than the men who are trying to date them. So how do black women navigate that? Especially when you think about how so many men have these fragile egos and these huge insecurities when it comes to money and who makes more of it. That's a question I have for black women.
Okay, I like that. So, Amber, are you okay with dating men who make less money than you or are less degreed than you?
I literally always have.
Okay, is that a preference? Do you look for those people?
It's not necessarily a preference, no.
Okay.
No, it's not necessarily a preference. I want to find someone who I could consider my intellectual equal, whether it's paper, degreed, or not. I think conversation is very big and important to me.
Okay.
So I need to be able to talk to you. So on some basis, I have to assume that you're not a flaming fucking idiot. Now.
But how do you assume that? I mean, like, how do you
I think it comes out during conversation. like your knowledge base. What do you care about? What are you passionate about? What do you know? Do you care anything about?
So does that come with education and access?
I think sometimes.
Okay.
Sometimes, but you can't always assume because someone is educated or has been educated that they're not going to be like a piece of shit.
Period.
Because
The answer that I would have given a couple months ago versus the answer I'm going to give now would be absolutely different. Mm-hmm. A couple months ago, I was trying to shape what I thought I wanted in a relationship and who I wanted to be with. And that looked absolutely different than the person
what
I'm
you
dating
need.
And what I needed, right? And also what it looks like to want what I want. Mm-hmm. Because that's another thing I've realized. I've realized like I can say what I want, but it's just me just saying it, not coming out of experience, but just like describing something that I didn't know unnecessarily. So it might not have been what I wanted. You know what I'm saying?
So do you think maybe in some instances what you wanted was shaped by what you experienced and you knew you didn't want? Like it was a trauma reaction.
It was a traumatic reaction. And I never really looked at a relationship from a positive sense of like expecting positivity. Mm-hmm. I feel like specifically
that's where I get hung up at.
Yeah, I feel like specifically being a Black woman, like an educated Black woman, I've always just understood and heard everybody say exactly what he's saying. Like, people are going to be less educated, they're going to make less money than you, and their egos are going to be bad. So you got to be willing to act like you're not the breadwinner, or act like you're not this, or act like that shit is tiring before you even get into a relationship or even begin to engage with someone, like having to make all those considerations for all their bullshit.
But are men ever really given the space to be ambitious and not seem like it? Like it's, well, you know what I mean? How like women, Black women are always like, oh, well, they're so ambitious. Well, do they ever say that about Black men?
What do you mean? What do you mean Black women?
Like, I feel like in my circle, I'm surrounded by very smart, very hardworking Black women.
Uh-huh.
And I can't say the same necessarily for men. Like, I feel like so many of the women that I meet are upwardly mobile, and some of the men are like, oh, you know, even some of my homies, it's just kind of like, so what you doing?
I understand that. I would say the men that are like continuously keeping each other like sharks and like always like ambitious and stuff also are the niggas who are cheating. Like, I don't know why that, like, honestly, that makes me feel like that same, like, kind of, like, I don't say that men hit a point of complicity, like, because that's the other thing. I'm not going to be, I don't plan on being ambitious for the rest of my life. That sounds tiring as fuck. I don't want somebody to say, oh, all my friends are so hardworking. I don't want, the way you just described me, I'm from now on today, I'm going to work hard as fuck to get out of that gang. Because I don't want to be a part of that. And I think men, something that we haven't taken on from men is like that men get to that point where they're like, actually, life isn't supposed to be a struggle. That's why men sometimes leave relationships and people are like, oh, but we've been working so hard. Yeah, too hard. And it's hard. And so I don't want to do this. And women,
that
we don't necessarily
want to do it.
And women, we don't get that because we're like, what?
We're used
up. We're used to working too much. So like even then, that's what I'm saying. You got to change the way you're thinking about it because that's why you're tired about getting in relationships before you even get in it. Think about it. Every time we talk about a relationship, you talk about how you're so exhausted before we even answer the question. You're already like negative before we even talk, you know what I mean?
That's why we call this the segment where we trigger ourselves.
Literally, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, why can't we go into this space expecting those things?
Why can't we align ourselves with ease?
That's it.
Look at you.
That's it.
You know what that is?
Growth. You know, growth and great dick. I'm just gonna put it out there.
Yeah.
That's it. That's what you need in your life.
Yeah.
Or great vagina, whatever you like.
Nah, I'm not eating coochie.
Okay. Speaking of eating coochie, welcome to the jail episode.
Where it gets tangy.
Let me ask a Black woman.
All right.
Amber. Amber. What you going to jail for?
Knowing myself. Knowing myself.
Yes, you.
Assault. Assault.
Or
it's assault. One of these people. Because somebody just said the wrong thing to me, and my reply was this bitch, and then I blacked the fuck out.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to jail for my family.
Okay,
like not everybody, like my cousins and them, they all right. But I'm going to jail for like my mom, my grandmother, my siblings.
Much wider circle, because mine's is like I feel like primarily myself,
I'm not even gonna say all my siblings. Sorry. Mm-hmm. I got one brother that I know that nigga would not. He would sell us. Damn. If he could. Damn. Sorry, Lottie. Sorry. but the rest of my siblings, I'm pretty sure we were going out fighting for each other, like
that's sweet.
Kill people for each other. Like my sister Nikki has literally saved my life so many times, okay. Literally by cussing people the fuck out.
And yeah, sometimes that's behalf. What needs to be done.
Yeah, like and just knowing her shit and being able to send somebody. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, my nifflings, like my nieces and nephews, like mm-hmm. I'm going to jail for them.
Okay.
As children. Let me mm-hmm. say that. Let me condition this. Mm-hmm. I'm not just going to jail because you flick them.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to jail for some big shit. Mm-hmm. Like, if it's some shit we can just fight over, we just going to fight.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to jail for you for that. But
yeah, like, I'm not going to hash a revenge plot.
But, like, kidnapping, sexual real assault, harm, like, real
trauma-inducing. Yeah.
Like, it's going down. Mm-hmm. Okay? It's going down.
Basement.
But some other shit, these niggas... Never.
Mm-mm. Here's the thing.
Never.
Here's the thing. I'm not going to
Lorena Bobbitt is my patron saint to remind myself that it's never that deep.
It ain't that deep, literally.
It's only 3 feet of high, tall grass and one only, inch of penis.
Yeah, it's like 1.25 inches deep.
Never that deep.
Gracious.
But
I could see myself assaulting a man in result. Like, I believe in keeping my hands to myself, but I feel like one of these days, I'm going to hit one of these men. Stupid. I'm going to hit him with a wrench. It's going to be like an episode of Clue.
Ooh, okay.
And I'm really team keep your hands to your fucking self.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, why these people be playing with me?
If I ever saw the lady that played Harriet.
That's it? Okay. Cynthia Erivo.
Mm-hmm. It's going to fight for sis.
Mm-hmm.
That's somebody I want to fight, but I'm still not going to jail for her.
Yeah.
I'm still not.
Yeah. But no. She looked like she pressed charges.
She called the police. Mm-hmm. We would both be standing looking at each other on the phone with the police. Mm-hmm. Like, hit me. No, you hit me.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you do it? Why did you play Aretha?
All you need is a witness.
Why did you think that was okay? Why didn't you stop? Don't do that. Stop playing black characters. We don't like it.
You don't even like us.
And you know what? It's that she looks stupid. She has the dumbest look. It's not even that she's ugly or nothing. I'm saying, like, you know, people just look at you stupid. Mm-hmm. Anybody has the capacity to look at you stupid. She looks at the camera so stupid. Like, Aretha Franklin is not an idiot.
No.
By no means.
Mm-mm.
A bad bitch, a mean bitch.
A long titty bitch.
A long titty bitch. A coochie cutter wearing bitch.
In January,
but not a dumb bitch by no means. Mm-mm. Okay? Not a silly bitch by no means.
Mm-mm. Not Clarence LeVon, daughter.
Not at all. Not at all. And y'all made her look like an idiot in that little film.
Boo Boo the Fool.
It was Harriet again.
I didn't watch it, but I know it was Boo Boo the Fool. I knew it was when they cast her.
Everybody else,
what
honestly,
was the reason?
Courtney B. Vance doing the best of his acting. Okay, he made me hate him, and I love him.
Yeah, I love him.
He made me not like him.
He be fucking Angela Bassett.
Can you imagine?
No, I literally cannot.
Can you imagine how lit that is to know, to look down and know that you are inside Angela Bassett?
Right. I can't even fathom.
What a pleasure. What a fucking pleasure. What a privilege.
Right.
Wow.
Well, that's wild to me.
And she looks the way she looks still.
And has for like 60 years.
God damn. God damn.
A nigga named Courtney.
Salute to a nigga named Courtney. Courtney,
right. Cheers. Cheers.
It be them. It be the quiet. It be the quiet.
But you know what's crazy? Niggas. He's a man married to a very ambitious woman, but he's an equally ambitious man. They can, like, match Ivy League degrees.
Equally ambitious man, but also, can we note, he's not Angela Bassett by no means.
No.
He's not even at her level, right?
No.
He's a great actor.
Here's the thing. I think they're on the same level acting. He does not get the same roles.
I don't think they're the
same level acting. I don't think he gets the roles cast.
Ever. Are you kidding me? Tina Turner? Bernadette? Can you name one of his characters besides Uncle George? Name them by name besides Uncle George.
Okay.
Now, exactly. All don't right. be disrespectful.
Up, but goddamn.
Don't be disrespectful.
I'm not disrespectful. Okay. It's not my intent to disrespect by any means.
She is more successful.
She is. I think she got better roles than him, though.
Beyonce is more successful than Jay-Z.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody absolutely. Can suck my ass if they want to fight about it. She is more. She is. But the thing is, people will still keep saying they're equals. And that's still ego trip. Mm-hmm. That's still misogyny. You know what I'm saying? Like, the fact that people need to say, oh, she found somebody her equal. No, she absolutely different. There is no equal.
Okay.
Michael Jackson is dead. And asexual.
And Prince is dead.
And not, you know, available. Okay?
Yeah. He's not dead. He wear Tupac hat. and Asada.
Who told us that? Somebody told us that.
Angela.
Yeah. But I'm saying, like, this is the situation. When we're talking, even bringing it back to Ask a Black Woman question, when we're talking about people being unequally or, like, somebody being... Black women have never had the issue with accepting that. That's mm-mm. the long, short answer. Mm-mm. We've never had the issue accepting it. It's y'all have had the issue accepting it. Mm-hmm. What we can accept is your habitual line-stepping and audacity in spite of your shortcomings in certain situations.
It's the comfort of being comfortable in your shortcomings.
Yes. It's the comfortable in your shortcomings and wanting a certificate for them. Mm-hmm. And a trophy and mm-hmm. a celebratory dinner.
We're not celebrating the bare minimum.
And that's it. It is not.
I took care of my kid. That's your kid.
That's your fucking... You're not babysitting. You're parenting, motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not what that is.
That shit don't stop. That's around the clock.
Period. And it's like... That's the situation. It's not that we have any issue. Because every nigga has the potential to not be shit. Mm-hmm. Fucking Thurgood Marshall, Martin Luther King, Barack Obama. You know what I'm saying? Like, every nigga has the potential to not be shit.
And one of those
shit.
Three probably might have had an outside kid, but definitely had a white girlfriend he had to get rid of.
And you used to piss on white women, I think they said, or something, had like a masochism issue. Dr. King, Jesus. You know what I mean? Like, he used to like to do wild shit to white women. That was his way of, I guess, nonviolence, violence, violency or violence.
Goddamn.
God damn.
The result, like, the aftermath of violence.
Listen. Like, and so, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, everybody has the potential. It has really nothing to do with education as much. Because, like we said, I've known some idiots from Howard University. Mm-hmm. I've known some idiots mm-hmm. from Harvard.
I've known they come everywhere.
From every place, in every color, shape, form, or fashion. People think, you know, tall men, like women be like, oh, I like dating guys that are tall. I feel safe. Okay, I know some tall bitches.
Mm-hmm. I know some big bitches.
Okay.
I know some big bitches.
Okay. And I know some little niggas that will knock them big bitches out.
One of the
out.
Biggest bitches I know is like 6'6".
One of the biggest sorry sap ass niggas, like tickle you, make them cry ass niggas is 7'5". Okay. Okay. Period.
Period, poo.
That's it. All right, so another situation where people could think this rolls over is dating people who are incarcerated.
Yeah.
So, Amps, mm-hmm. give us the stats.
Okay. So, we were doing some research, mm-hmm. and MSNBC noted that according to one study, they did not specify the study, unions, when one partner is incarcerated, is less likely to end in divorce than conventional marriages.
Hmm. And these are the reasons why I think that is. You know where they are.
Mm-hmm.
Your communication is scheduled and mm-hmm. cherished.
Mm-hmm. That's it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay.
One person is making the money. The other person is grateful. But in some cases, I know I've heard of niggas sending money home.
Mm-hmm. Some people still take care of home, which is...
That's a lot of license plates.
It ain't license plates. It's fucking butt crack plates. Just smuggling in drugs between your labia. Little baggies of coke.
I'm going to say lots of
mom's pubis. Yeah.
Okay. But, all right, what else?
So, all right. Have you ever heard of hybristophilia?
No. Hybristophilia.
Yeah.
Okay, what is it?
Hybrisophilia is a sexual interest and attraction to those who commit crimes.
It's so like a kink. A kink for the bad boys and the bad gals.
So it is really, it's really popular, or like a common known fact that when there are high profile crimes, whoever's person, like whoever's in charge, their popularity just goes through the roof.
Like Manson, with all the women that like loved him and sent him letters and did all kinds of crazy shit. He had a whole
family.
No, I'm saying while he was in jail.
Yeah. But I mean, like, he had the family. He was able to, he was already like a ball deep in criminality when he built the family. Like, his life was fucked.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, he was like a juvenile delinquent.
You know, I love serial killers and weird pastors and cults and shit like that. Weird pastors. But he is one person I have not, like, had the, like, that's a level. Okay. You want me to tell you? Wow, I'm telling the whole world. Okay. So, as a little kid, and my mom will co-sign this.
Okay.
Probably, I would say, since I can ever remember.
Okay.
I want to say early as like 4 or 5. I've had this reoccurring dream. I haven't had it in a long time. And I think the reason why is because it used to happen all the time and it didn't have an end result. It had a conclusion. And so later. I had this dream. I was in this group with this group of people. Me, Manson, an Asian lady, a little white boy, an old white man, Jim Jones, not the rapper.
Okay,
the
that's what I was going to. Okay, all right.
An old black man, and a middle aged white lady, a very caring white lady. And we're literally being zapped, like transported to all these different places by the devil.
Okay.
I'm so serious, Amber. Don't laugh.
I'm not.
Is like tempting us with these weird things. He's like, "You guys can have all of this. You're gonna do it." And everybody's like, "Look at each other." Everybody's like, "Nah, nah."
What kind of weird? What was this?
I don't remember specifically
because in my mind it's peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, like a mountain of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. You know, like just something stupid. Like, is this what?
No, it was like places. It was like he would take us to like a top of like a mountain or like a hill, and we would look down on like the whole place.
I made y'all go to like Deal or No Deal.
You did.
Butter shoes.
And he would like say, okay, like you can have all of this and, you know, just join me or whatever. And I never joined. I was like, no, I'm good. And I finally got to the desert and he just left me there. And that's the last time I had the dream. But however, Jim Jones, Charles Manson, they all got off early. They were like, yep, I'll take it. Boom, deal. Like, I've had that dream since I was little and it reoccurred. And as I grew up, I found out like who these people were individually. Like, why have I seen this person? Oh shit, that's the person from the dream. Because I told my mom, like, I was like, old man, white man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I describe these people. I couldn't tell her what they looked like. I was little. Yeah. You know what I mean? But then as I started seeing people, when I started, like, you know, just learning shit, I was like, oh, shit, that's the dude from the dream. So Charles Manson scared the fuck out of me in my dream as a little kid.
So you were just, you didn't dive back in.
I can't watch documentaries. I can't watch the movies. I don't even like looking at his face. So I can't even, like,
it's not giving what's supposed to give.
No, it's not for me. That's my thing. No, yeah. I'm good. He's the boogeyman to me. I'm good on that one.
That's fair.
So the fact that women could even be attracted to him to want to like let it be known that they are going to see somebody so vicious in jail, it's kind of scary to me. And the fact that you're saying that it's an actual kink, like, what?
I'm looking at the causes, like the root causes, hybristophilia.
Okay.
All right. Low self-esteem and the lack of a father figure.
Okay.
Some believe they can change a man as cruel and as powerful as a serial killer.
Why?
A few hope to share in the media spotlight or get a book or movie deal.
Oh, wow.
Then there's the notion of the perfect boyfriend.
What you mean, the perfect boyfriend?
She knows where he's at all times and thinking, thinking about her. While she can claim that someone loves her, she does not have to endure the day-to-day issues in most social relationships. There's no laundry to do, no cooking for him, and no accountability to him. She can keep the fantasy charged up for a long time.
So that's why, like, when we did our research, like we did, we went on like the jail dating websites and like saw the different things, like how profiles were built, and even the fact that some of the guys knew they were going to be in there for life, mm-hmm. and they were trying to start like relationships.
Yep.
Like they were like, that sounds crazy. Who would do that?
Mm-hmm.
Them.
Them.
Like these people,
they have nothing else,
and they would probably do it for multiple people.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. Like that's the other thing that like people are not picking up on. When y'all are seeing these situations where like on TV, where it's like, okay, this person's dating somebody in jail, know that that's probably likely mm-hmm. not the first or the last person that they've done that with. And hell a lot no. of times, when that person gets out, they find out that their partner is still talking to somebody else.
Oh,
who
this dude
in jail.
Is only in for 2 years.
Oh my gosh, Amber.
In doing research, we looked into a dating website, writeaprisoner.com. And they have like Zodiac information. You can submit your education information or your military service.
Where are they getting the pictures to submit these profiles?
That is what I seriously wonder, because this is outside. Like, this is in the free world.
Like, do they get, like, their family to log in and log in their old MySpace pictures or some shit?
Well, I don't know. That also looks like it might be prison.
He has a cell phone, though, in his hand.
Well, okay.
Mm. Okay, so what... Then there was this article that came out specifically, and it wasn't, like, just talking about people in jail, but we can assume that this is in that roll-off, mm-hmm. About how successful women are constantly dating...
Toxic men,
but like men that are not equally or seemingly accessible or in their networks. Let's say that.
Okay.
Have
you ever read the book Is Marriage for White People?
Mm-mm.
Okay. They talk about how if black women want to increase their prospects of, the summation was, if black women want to increase their prospects of getting married, they need to really consider marrying outside of their race.
Why?
Because black women marry down, or they're not marrying because we're really high achievers. Some of us that do marry find ourselves met with violence, physical violence, because we are usurping the ego of another man, or so possibly
specifically what the caller said, mm-hmm. pretty much. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I mean, so how does that, like, and we've seen that work out on TV. Mm-hmm. Like, we've seen the different relationships on Love After Lockup, and they seem very on the brink of domestically violent very fast.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say that every person that comes out of jail is going to be automatically domestically mm-hmm. violent. Like, jail, the prison system in this country is
absolutely fucked up.
Like, what's the stats on, where do we find the stats on, like, prison in America? Like, what's the percentage?
Oh, yeah. It was about 1-2% of the population
is in prison mm-hmm. currently.
Yeah.
So that doesn't mean
that,
all
and
the
that
people...
grew exponentially as of 1980 and crack in the Reagan administration.
But I want to say that that's 1-2% that's in prison presently.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder what the percentage is of people who have been in jail totally. Like, even the ones that have gotten out, right? Mm-hmm. Or ones that are cycling in and out.
Because,
mm-hmm. like, that's the other thing. Like, I feel like... people always said, like, oh, it's about to be a wave. Niggas getting out. Like, I remember that was a thing when I was in high school. Mm-hmm. Like, that there would be, like, these different waves of men getting out of jail at certain times. And then some just going in. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it was, like, niggas coming home from college or going away to war. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? It was a very weird vibe. It was, like, almost understood.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the other thing. Like, when we're looking at, I think, Love After Lockup and phenomenons and TV shows like that are... still white gaze fetishism
mm-hmm.
because mm-hmm. black people have been maintaining these marriages, fatherhood relationships,
without parental figures there first, however
no
long.
Via jail forever. Mm-hmm. Like, personally, like, you know, my parents have, like, I grew up in a foster home. I think mm-hmm. I've said this before. No, I am not a foster child, but my parents had foster kids, so therefore my home, mm-hmm. my sister and I were the only two biological children, so therefore we grew up in a foster home because mm-hmm. there were more foster kids than biological kids. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Birthers.
So growing up in a foster home, my parents were very, very different. And mm-hmm. I praise them for this. They were different in the sense that, like, they made sure that my siblings maintained a relationship with their family as well. Mm-hmm. Because legacy is very important.
It
and
is.
Knowing who you are for medical
and
reasons,
knowing where you came from
is important as shit, mm-hmm. right? And so I remember my big sister, like, going to see her father in jail with her. Mm-hmm. Like, my mom took all of us. Like, we were all going. Like, mm-hmm. we all had to go because
he was our
babysitter.
Uncle.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it wasn't a weird situation to me. Mm-hmm. I think back then, like, the scruples were different. I just remember being in, like, a big room.
Yeah.
And I remember there, like, being... Like, somebody had donated McDonald's toys, toys to him mm-hmm. McDonald's. So, like, that's what he could give us as, like, mm-hmm. a present. So, like, that's something I remember. I was like, Mom, how does he get McDonald's? You know what I mean? I just didn't understand.
How does he get this
to us? She explained it to me.
And the fact that he thought of y'all.
You know what I'm saying? And it was a lot of us. We grew up in a house with 12 kids. So, it's just, like, it was crazy to think that they had to navigate that relationship without being on the phone mm-hmm. all the time, without social media, without, you know, the possibility of technology. And we've been doing that. But all of a sudden now, when you're seeing young white women, like, on the show, mm-hmm. taking
trips, driving hundreds of miles.
Money, all kinds gifts, of shit, doing mm-hmm. all kinds
that
of...
That made it careers.
And now they have shows. And,
when women are actually really penalized.
And you know they get paid for these shows, right? So mm-hmm. they get paid for these shows. But how many black women have been raising whole ass families, be mm-hmm. it for these niggas in jail, without mm-hmm. any of the supports? Where's their shows?
Yeah.
Where's the real reality of making shit stretch, mm-hmm. making shit shake? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because we know that
we've been there.
We've been
the backbone of the family.
And it's so... I think that's where I'm going to be honest, my judgment for some of these women who go into it purposely
mm-hmm.
comes from, because I'm like,
to
you,
do it.
Yeah, like, you've seen sis struggle. Why would you pick this?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Why would you walk into the line of fire like that? That's like the opioid crisis, too.
What?
How the opioid crisis hit white people. Y'all saw what heroin did to our neighborhoods, with our communities, and you choose this? Mm-hmm. Y'all see what it did to us, and then y'all go and do it. Mm-hmm. And you're no better at jazz music? Fuck. What's going on?
It's the no better at jazz music for me. Because you did the wrong drug. You were supposed to do heroin. That's
real
what
heroin.
Yeah, that's what makes the brown kind.
Get your spoons, girls.
Bend that bitch. Bend that bitch. Bend that bitch. Okay, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's it didn't work for y'all, so I don't know why y'all think it didn't work for us. Why y'all think it's gonna work for you? Why do you think you can recover from those situations differently? Okay, so something else that I learned in Love After Lockup that really... What? Go ahead. What do you think I'm about to say? No, what do you think I was about to say?
I don't know. I was wondering, was this headed to Michael? Or is this headed to Puppy?
No, this is headed to my friends in Cali.
Oh.
And
Andrea and Lamar.
And Shorty Girl.
And the ancestor children.
The children that look like African artifacts.
Mm-hmm. They do.
Like... Girl got pregnant by him in jail. Mm-hmm. Now what does she do for a living?
I thought she was a realtor.
What is the bag like? Because, like, the bag has to be so fucking bomb that you pay a guard to let you have sex. And I'm sorry, it wasn't even sex, because I feel like you got to lay down at some point for it to be considered sex. To fuck in a closet. What?
That's the difference between fucking and sex.
I feel like that
sex
is.
Sex means somebody lay down.
I feel like that's what makes a little difference.
Okay,
like,
that's the romance.
At some point, no, I didn't say make love. That's different.
Ain't romance laying
make
down?
Make love,
though?
I might kiss you. It's like, I'm going to kiss you if we're making love, right? Sex, we're going to lay down. Like, I might hug you. Like, we might cuddle. You know what I mean? Might be a little something different.
Okay.
Fucking, I feel like you're just standing up. Like, you just get it done.
Standing up or, like, sitting
down.
Yeah,
like, it's not a position of rest. Mm. It's not a position of luxury.
Okay. All right. I get it. That makes sense.
Is that a good scale?
Yeah, that is.
Because I feel like you can only get fucked in prison.
Yeah.
I feel like no one is having sex in prison.
Well.
No, your anxiety of the guards and all that kind of shit. You're fucking because you're trying to nut at any moment. Mm-hmm. You're not trying to elongate this shit.
Mm-mm. You need to nut as fast as possible. You need
everybody on the team understands this is the Jamaican bobsled team.
Yeah.
Everybody,
somebody might Sanka, have
you know that boy Darius. Jamaica, we got a bobs. Like, get the fuck somebody in might, and go.
Somebody might pull your tin at any moment.
Listen, get the fuck in the bobsled and go. What is you doing? We're not trying to make this a long trip.
But the thing is like the lack of luxury around you has got to make it a slower trip.
That's what you got to close your fucking eyes, bro.
Your nose, your everything. Nose,
and that's the
actually,
thing.
You know what?
Can you imagine being in a women's prison? Because it's not even the sex you want. Okay, for us, it's not even the sex you want. This is somebody's paper towel collection that they have put in a rubber glove and made themselves a fucking dick that they are. Yet you have to be excited about them shoving inside of you.
No,
this is the reality of the situation. No. Amber. Mm-mm. Amber, no. Ask a black woman when you go to jail. You in life. You're in there for life. Are you eating pussy?
Because it's a taste you can see, like a taste you can smell. It's just, you know, like you see stink lines. Like I just feel like everybody in jail is a little bit musty.
I can't breathe. Oh my God, we need video content. People have to see your face.
It's real dirty and murky. Like, I feel like the water's a little gray in every jail. That soap is that cheap ass middle school soap. If you ever had that, if you ever had the powder soap. But you know, like when you open up the thing it's a soap bar from like the 1980s and it's like layers, you know, like a dried biscuit.
Oh my God.
Like a soap biscuit. I feel like that's the soap. And then they wear those recycled ass gray jumpsuits.
And don't everybody share underwear in jail?
Yeah,
like you can't get recycled your underwear back, right? It's like you just get a pair of underwear that's washed.
You get some community draws.
Oh my God.
10 years of coochie.
12 years of coochie. Oh my God.
So am I eating coochie in jail? You said I'm in there for life. I can't do jail.
Period. I'm dying at the sentence. I'm having a stroke.
I'm gonna
getting shot. You gotta be fucked up. I'm getting shot.
Yeah, I'm gonna reach for every gun I see.
For everything.
Please shoot me.
This is over today. Mm-hmm. I'm done. Mm-hmm. Ma'am, your sentence was only 3 weeks. So
I can't. Mm-mm. End it all, baby. Shoot me.
Hit me. Listen, shout out to Goo. Oh my Goo, God.
Turn me into Goo Punch, yo, bitch. I'm not going to jail.
I'm out. I'm sorry. Peace y'all, out. That's what I'm saying. My hat is off because these, we have watched.
If I can't run away, bitch,
y'all, we have watched. We have been in them trenches. And honestly, I'm going to sage my house and my televisions and every of my devices and clear my browser because I can't have that energy in my life. I cannot do it. Mm-mm. I cannot do it. And I have homies that call me, that Instagram, like, shout out to my homeboy Debo. Like, she listens to the pod. Like, he is in there. Like, he's in there. And living a life that I cannot understand.
Yeah.
The Pruno is ever flowing. The dice game's lit.
Yeah.
Like, he's sending
girls. And they don't win anything.
He's sending women Valentine's. Right, I ain't get one, but that's fine. Your girlfriends and homegirls can get something.
Yeah,
but like he's still living life.
Damn, he still got love interest. His Rolodex popping.
It's crazy, and that, he's just like, I don't understand why you don't understand. I'd be like, my nigga, because this is not what TV says. TV says that y'all are flushing chips down the toilet for presents to each other.
Yeah. Y'all doing it all connecting strings and cups and shit. Timing it. Y'all are doing
not
like,
using cash.
Y'all doing like mathematics and shit.
Yeah.
Supreme mathematics.
Oh my gosh. It's so many things. Like, so then it's like, even to know that, because like, that's what I said. That's what I'm sorry. I'm drunk. This Pruno is very, it's potent. Mm-hmm. It's smooth, but it's potent.
It's very Pruno-y.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's there. So what I'm saying is, knowing what you know about what they have to do, because we've been in them trenches, like swoles, hookups, like the things that people are excited to eat, let you know that they are in them trenches.
Yeah.
Right? Jail is nothing to laugh about, nothing to, like, it we're laughing really, to keep from crying.
Because this is disgusting.
Because this is just a place that we could just know.
We could end up there accidentally.
That's so scary.
We could get snatched off the street
life,
and end up
my
there.
My nigga. Mm-hmm. Life. That is the scary. That's what I'm saying. Like, I had to really sit and think about it last night. Cause like, when you fell asleep, I was like, yo, I'm really stuck watching. I'm in a YouTube pit of hell now. Like,
my bad. I just like, was
you went the fuck to sleep.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just sitting here and I'm like, yo, like, what to really make the choice to go to jail, you have your life outside had to be so fucking terrible. That you were willing to risk that. And if not, it had to be a fucking tragedy of a mistake for you to end up in there.
Yeah.
And it makes me want to break everybody out. I know that sounds like, I'm really not sure where I am on like the full jail culture situation of like understanding.
It's complex. I mean, fuck the prison system, but also like there are some niggas who deserve to be there.
You know what I'm saying?
Because like, they've created hell on earth. They've broken people. They've ruined people. They've ended people. And there's nothing for you. There's nothing better for you.
So it's like, what do you say? You know what I'm saying? Like, when you're thinking about these certain situations, like, when I'm sitting here thinking about making a choice to deal with someone who I know is coming out of that, that sounds difficult to me.
Yeah.
Because our mind, like, to be able to cope with that being your surrounding every day and not go crazy and not end up in there banging your head against the wall.
And then they say that, like, with the people who come out, their issue, usually they're so angry. They're so used to being on edge and being so defensive that they don't know how to re-enter into society being just normal. They've been so aggressive.
And I think we've
as
seen
a defense
that,
mechanism.
We've seen that with the show. We're seeing certain men like come out and just be like, I forget the guy's name. He was on like crystal meth. He had a lot of teeth. His girlfriend's mom put her out before they got married.
Matt and Susan.
Yes, Matt, yeah. And he pretty much told her and his mom, like, if I want to do drugs, I'm going to go do drugs, and I'll bust out this fucking window.
Yeah. He was like, sneaking out. He was, like, threatening to sneak out of his house like a 15-year-old.
Yeah.
He was like, I'll do what the fuck I want, Mom.
Right.
And like, you can move Caitlin ass in his motherfucking house with your mama, and your mama been saying the whole time, this is not going to work.
Right.
So,
and I don't want to say that's the expectancy of everybody that's been in jail, but like life hard criminals, like if you've been doing it forever, and that's the other thing that I think would make me nervous, like something that I've picked up on and something that I just kept thinking about was like, to be excited to say that you ate a burrito that you made out of ramen
processed
noodles,
processed foods, water, jail water, pickles, summer sausage, and then like
jail
tuna.
Water.
He had tuna too.
Tuna,
because
sausage,
it was like
he had pepperoni. Rice, minute rice, not even
barbecue
good rice.
Chips, tortilla chips, and cheese doodles.
And so then he literally mixed this shit in an old chip bag.
Yeah.
Had it
Tostitos
mixed up.
Bag because you need to clear so you can see it.
Yep.
Oh, God.
Shh, shh, shh. You hear that? You guys hear that? You guys hear Aaron breathing? Got him again.
Yay.
No, okay, so summer sausage, pepperonis. What the fuck? Oh, he mixed all that shit up in an old chip bag.
With some water.
And then he wrapped it in tortillas.
He microwaved it.
Inside the foil chip bag.
No, he microwaved the mix too.
Oh, did he microwave the mix?
Yeah, because remember, it's still rice. He put rice in there.
No, that's why he had water, hot water.
Yeah, but he still had to put it in the microwave. No. He put it in the microwave in the bowl.
No, he didn't. He didn't put it in the microwave until the end. You didn't see the microwave until the very end.
I thought
end.
He put it in the microwave in the bowl.
No, that's why he was just sitting there. He said, let it swole. Let it swell up. A swole.
Uh-huh.
Letting the shit, okay. letting the okay. soak, let the water soak and swole the package.
Okay.
Then he put it in there. That's why it kept growing. Even after he was pulling it out of the bowl,
yeah.
it just kept expanding. Mm. So he put it in the burrito.
It's all sodium.
Smeared it with cheese sauce,
mm-hmm.
wrapped it like mm-hmm. the best Chipotle worker I've ever fucking seen.
Yeah,
I mean,
he did a Band-Aid too.
Yeah, it was a Mondo. It was a Mondo burrito.
Yeah, and he put it in a fucking foil-lined chip bag,
knowing that that was gonna have that crazy ass sparky reaction. Mm-hmm. He then wrapped it in construction paper
mm-hmm.
to insulate that mm-hmm. reaction.
Yep.
Put it in the microwave and it fried, y'all.
Yeah.
It legit fried and got crunchy. I'm not sure the carcinogen mm-hmm. situation.
Oh, no. Yeah, no. He's shaved years off, decades off his life.
Okay, okay.
Easily. But, the sodium alone.
And then he fed it to his child. Well, this was on YouTube. He was released.
Yeah.
And he was excited.
But it's probably, honestly, it's probably somebody on TikTok now making swoles. I've seen like a jail brunch.
Making swoles.
Yeah.
So like my situation with that is like, I can't convince you that that's not good.
Mm-hmm.
You're convinced that that's something good, and you're willing to feed that to my child.
Mm-hmm.
I can't. We can't do this.
No. Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
We can't.
You
do
think this.
This
is acceptable?
Like
you don't shit normal.
You don't understand. You have gastrointestinal issues for life, and you don't understand that this is not that this is not regular.
You know how I was thinking about this is. This makes your bowels want to eject themselves, but it can't because of all the cheese. It is a poopy roller coaster.
But even just that's what I'm saying. So then it's like, how do we as a society decommission these folks from that kind of trauma? Because like you see people do it,
mm-hmm.
you see people get out and live. Great, fabulous lives.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like there is a subsect of people who accept and thrive in jail life. Like the dude that was on 60 Days In, that doubled fucking down.
Yeah.
What in the world would make you want to do a jail experiment longer?
Facts.
Dick.
Facts. I don't know.
It sure wasn't the Chipotle burritos.
No. No, and the thing is like, so my cousin used to work in a jail, and she told us stories about like how she had there was for lack of a better word phrase, sissy, who worked at the jail, and he used to serve up some people in the jail,
mm-hmm.
and he had a customer who used to request that he eat peanuts because he liked texture.
What is the peanuts
for? Texture, because they don't break down when you poop. You see peanuts. You see peanuts again.
Amber.
He wanted
this
that.
This is
rough.
A family podcast.
Bitch, the fuck it is.
All right, speaking of people in jail and jail romance, let's talk about shorty boy Tavon White. So in 2015, authorities in Baltimore City, Detention Center, busted a drug and gun running business operated by several members of the Black Gorilla family. Please don't come for us. We're just reading this shit off Google. Who were incarcerated at the prison. The gang was led by Tavon White, who was also discovered to have gotten 4 prison guards pregnant. Several prison guards, including the 4 women, were involved with the group and often helped them smuggle contraband into the facility. The drug trade is very lucrative in prison, where $10 worth of marijuana goes for $50. But where are they getting the $50?
Facts. Where's that coming from?
One of the female guards did it for the money. 2 others did it for love. One even tattooed White's name on her neck and was the only one who got pregnant with twins. He loved her.
Mm-hmm.
Some were supplied with Mercedes Benzes from him. The last guard was once warned that he planned, once warned him of a planned prison search where White would claim that she knew about the search because she was cheating on him with the male guard.
Mm-hmm.
Like cheating on him. But
wow.
She had 4 guards pregnant.
Wow.
But
wow.
I'm cheating on.
He has a whole family. He had a
polygamous
family. My man's
family.
had the. How is he a better champion of polygamy than the men on the outside? He had them taken care of. They were in Benz. Didn't you say they were in Benz's?
Yes. Benz maintenance is a lot.
And it's a nigga who's trying to get you to fuck another girl. And he has you on a bus pass. He might call you an Uber.
I get your Uber here, but you got to get the one going back because I ain't got no money on my Cash App and my check-ins and my savings and my savings and my check-ins.
Mm-hmm. And they're not connected.
You can Cash App me the money, though, and I can order the Uber.
Nah, you're not going to get points off me.
Nigga, what?
Get out of my face.
So...
That is wild to
you. Knew
girl.
About the search. She was cheating on the male guard. The four women stood trial for their involvement with the gang. White himself testified against other gang members in exchange for reduced jail time. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wowzer.
Wow.
So that's the other thing for me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And thinking about, okay, yeah, he's loyal in this situation because he don't have no choice to be.
Mm-hmm.
No, he's not in trouble. And of course, he's a changed man because there's no opportunity for real, for him to be who he was outside of jail.
Mm.
But yet, you're willing to accept. And this is he or she, because I think the other thing that I love about Love After Lockup is that it showcased some of these silly ass men.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that y'all be tricked.
Yeah. Tricked out
of bags. Out of bags. Because yeah. Shorty Boy gave that girl $20,000 in 1 year. He said he had given her over $500,000 in total in their 12 years together in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Do husbands be giving wives $500,000? Like, what the fuck?
Scott and Lizzie.
That's what I'm talking about.
Like, and you know what's crazy? Did you see how their story concluded?
No.
Scott's back on drugs. She's like, I'm not risking my sobriety for this.
And she was the one in jail.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He started working, like, trucking again because he spent so much money on her, he was forced into, like, having to work again. Mm-hmm.
And that's when he started doing heroin and shit.
Yep.
Again.
Mm-hmm.
Are there situations... Because that's the other thing I think that the shows have kind of shown me. Even though I feel like these people are perfectly normal and should be able to find
mm-hmm.
people out here, as the show goes on, I realize...
You see they're not. They're a fucking nut job.
I realize why they want somebody in jail, and most times it's for control and manipulation. Mm-hmm. Because somebody with freedoms and liberties,
yeah,
not trained to be in a jail like mindset.
Yep. Somebody who got too much book learning.
They wouldn't go for this shit.
Nope.
But these women be wanting to, like, Hybristophilia. I feel like that's just like a weird, like, version of like Munchausen, but like for husbands bays. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like they almost want their bae to be
accessible to them, or they know where they are, so they're
to be
safe.
Caged.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
what does a caged bird do?
Sing. Like, I also feel like they want that cage situation because I feel like it's a coaching for when they get out. They should be used to it and should be happy or acceptable
because they're already
with
indoctrinated.
What they have. Like, right. Right.
Breakfast 4:30 a.m.
Yo,
lunch 10:30 a.m.
They eat breakfast at 4:30 in the fucking morning. Amber said, mouth's not even open.
Stomach's yet. Not even open. Like, what? 4:30? What? Y'all is literally up with the motherfucking chicken.
That's drunk breakfast time. That's too late for drunk breakfast. Right. That's just take my ass home time. That's what that is.
Right.
That's the sun about to come up. It ain't even cute to be out dressed like this mm-hmm. in this moment.
Because it's cold now.
Right.
Just sweating and dried on me.
Listen.
I have some body glitter on me.
That's
I don't
what
know
I'm
where.
To say.
What
the glitter at? Where the glitter at?
Random ass piece of glitter and a blue bruise.
Period. That's it. So it's like that's too late
Shoes
for that.
That you fucking hate.
That's too late for that. That's too late for fucking. Like, no, we're not doing nothing. That's sleeping hours, nigga. Yeah. What else are you doing at 4:30 in the morning but sleeping? or being in mess.
Or making a bad decision.
Right, being in mess.
Yeah, listen, some of my worst decisions have come.
At 4:30 in the fucking morning. That's the time I'll try to stay asleep, just so I don't make a bad decision. Mm-hmm. I'd rather wake up at 5 and make a better decision. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Give me that extra 30.
4:30 in the morning for breakfast. 10:30 they eat lunch. 4:30 p.m. they eat dinner. And then the rest of the time starve. They fucking starve. So that shit on the shingle in the morning looked a lot like
mm-hmm.
IHOP.
Because mm-hmm. it looks like a goddamn B. Smith brunch.
Oh, R.I.P. B.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck her husband.
Raggedy.
Raggedy ass. Raggedy. Mm-mm-mm.
So let's take a break.
Okay. We'll be right back.
And we are back with this episode's Black Woman Owned Business.
All right, y'all. Shout out to the gang. Kavette Buford is a licensed esthetician that focuses on holistic health, corrective skincare, and pro-youth solutions. That sounds good as shit. Mm-hmm. Pro youth, like, yes.
That's why we not aging out here.
Period.
She Benjamin Button in.
Backwards. Reverse back to me.
Mm-hmm. Reverse back to my 20s.
Listen, she also specializes in full body waxing, with her specialty being in Brazilians.
Get your coochie wax.
Period. Also, an educator and trainer, she makes understanding skincare easy and accessible to all. And I can attest to that because she is literally my esthetician, and I was absolutely an idiot about skincare. But to book a service with her, you can go to beneathskin.as.me, beneaththeskin.as.me. You can also email her at inquiries@cbufordaesthetics.com for more personal detailed questions. And her DMs are always open on IG as c.bufordaesthetics. So let's spell it. c.bufordaesthetics. Run that back, Playboy, if you need to. All right. But just make sure you go follow. Make sure you book an appointment with her. Make sure. And honestly, I think it's a testament when you look good yourself.
Mm-hmm. And her skin is popping.
Flawless.
Popping.
Okay. And in person. What pores, bruh? And what wrinkles? In person is mm-hmm. even like, you're just like, whoa. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Yeah. So go ahead. Go shop. Ask her about her personalized classes, where she teaches you about your skin. Mm-hmm. And as always,
Black women, stay blessing.
Stay blessing.
All right. So we're back. And we're here to talk about, for 5 minutes, who we really want to give our flowers to.
Okay.
So nationalbailout.org has a specific collective that coordinates a Mama's Day
mm-hmm.
bailouts, where they pay the bail or bond amounts for Black women, women of color, trans
being held
women.
For stupid ass shit.
Mm-hmm.
Bail and bond is an issue in America because it's another setup to, like, not only contribute to the prison, you know, pipeline, or whatever, of Black people,
but to keep disenfranchising poor people in jail
for stupid little things
in low amounts of money.
Like, I've personally spent time with the Black Mama Bailout for the DMV and gone with them to bail women out in mm-hmm. Anne Arundel counties and PG counties, and it's been a stupid experience in mm-hmm. the sense of, like, I can't believe you had to waste our time doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Women being held in jail for over 6 months for less than $100 bail.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are a woman who is, unfortunately, you know, taken to the result of, like, stealing,
mm-hmm.
to feed your 6 kids, right?
Yeah.
Where the fuck do you think 6 kids are going to muster
$100
in the means
you're
to
just
go,
trying to keep food on the table,
the means to go and process that bail mm-hmm. and do, you know what I mean,
get to the locations that they need to, because jails are never close.
Come on.
Well, jails are closed, but
and navigate all that mm-hmm. as children, you know what I'm saying? So it's super significant that it's the Black Mama Bailout, because they are looking specifically
for
women
being the backbone of communities and families. And
And they go specifically to for black mamas to get them out during that Mother's Day so that they are home with their kids on Mother's Day by that time. It's a great service. Shout out to Life After Release, Kiana, Harriet's Dreams, Nene and Makia, all those people, all those great women, my sisters in the evolution, the revolution. We have created gift bags for them so that when the moms got out of jail, they had tampons and toilet paper. Yeah.
Raggedy ass soap.
Clearly, you know what I'm saying? Just like all those different things to make them feel like a human again. It's also COVID-19. So what do they need? They need masks. They need hand sanitizer. They need all those kind of things. They need like space because like it's not even regular go get a job season. You know what I'm saying? Like it's an even harder landscape than it was originally. Because
people who had jobs is still like trying to figure out their jobs.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like so many different parts to it when we're talking about jail. And even that's the one thing I did notice in 90 Day Fiancé. I mean, not 90 Day Fiancé. get my shit mixed up.
Love After Lockup. 60 Love After Days Lockup. In.
For the men, it was very, I hate to say this. For the men, it seemed very much like a succubus situation. Where for the women, to me, it seemed a lot more based in survival.
Yeah.
And
I need someone to take care of me.
Not even just take care of me, but show care. Because I think that these women are very capable and independent. I feel like you don't get to jail, like you get to jail in one or two ways, a very stupid way or a very complicated way. That's really like how I feel about it. I feel like it's like either really dumb or really complicated. And so for the women who get in there from complicated situations, I feel like it's really just like, please just show me care. And they will get out and have longer lasting relationships.
Marcelino and Brittany.
Come on. Where they're having babies and navigating, you know, mental health and doing
life
it.
And addiction. And
helping other people. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And being accountable. And sorry to say, but for the men that you see in the reverse, you just see like a constant continued pattern of abuse. A constant continued pattern of
being not giving downtrodden a fuck. And not contributing to relationships. And Lamar is the only one.
I think also the situation with Lamar is Lamar had enough time in there that he understood. And
they had enough time together in there.
Right. That he understood.
The sacrifices.
The sacrifices, but also appreciation for what she was giving up to be with him and what she was going through to be with him. And what he had given up by giving up so much time of his life and somebody being willing to rebuild what was left of his with him.
Yeah.
Right? Damn. Like, that's what I got from that. That's and deep. Really, you know what I mean?
Because she's putting her life on hold.
Completely. Her religion, everything. Like, she's...
I couldn't imagine it.
And then you have, like, the situations where you have your Michaels, where it's like...
Wild,
you know,
he's taking advantage of women all over the place, and I know he's not a financially participatory father
at all. That's what I'm saying. He looks high a lot of times. Most times he looks very high.
He looks super high in his confessionals.
Yeah, and it's the I don't give a fuckness for me that, and it's like you have kids and you want to pretend like you want to have this family and be this upstanding father, and it's like all of a sudden
you like it, and then you're in a relationship with a woman, then you're kissing another woman in the mouth on the street,
and it's just like I'm weary of shows like this because I don't want it to glamorize the prison system. Or make a mockery of, like I said, those real relationships I've had to sustain without the cameras and the support of special access for interviews and a producer being able to pass a message to Bay, even if, you know, like, because, you know, the producers.
They look out for the cookout.
Yeah, you know, they send notes. Right. Like, nobody's dumb. Like, these men get to eat in these spaces. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're not, I'm not saying that's like what they shouldn't do, but I'm just saying, like, there's certain
you know
benefits.
It's happening.
There's certain benefits,
but
to
that
being a
probably
part of the
also
show.
Depending on the show, it will draw a prison, like it'll draw a target on their back potentially,
right? And I also think that they will also. So this is, I feel like it's the same kind of thing with like nursing homes, right? Like if people know people are coming to visit you and people are looking at you, they'll take care of you because they know that somebody's going to notice if you're fucked up, right? Where like in jail, like I feel like things happen. Khalif Browder. Right? Like, let's talk about
it. That story breaks my heart.
Right. It breaks my heart every time I think about it, but I also think about, like,
a backpack.
Not even just that. A village that would allow me to sit that long. I know for a fact that I feel strong in saying that my village would never allow that without a fucking fight.
I'm very big on, like, check on your people, know your people, make sure niggas are okay. Because life is short.
Period. You know what I'm saying?
Life is short. And I've had to look and look and look and twist and turn at fatality and how life, how short life is so much.
And I think that people don't think about, people that have so much opportunity to live life don't have to think about that as much. So maybe that is the appeal of dealing with someone who has been incarcerated, because their value or it can go either up, their value, the way they look at life can go up, or it can be sustained by that prison life where it's like, this is just my limit. And what's the worst thing that can happen to me is go back to jail. Okay, fuck it. I like jail. You know what I'm saying?
It's cool in there.
There's certain people I feel like they have gotten to that point. You know what I'm saying? Where they enjoy
broken.
And they cycle in and out of jail, you know what I mean? Where it's not of any consequence to them. It's just the time. It's just, this is the period.
Three hots and a cot.
I'm sitting down, you know what I'm saying, in this situation. And that's wild, you know what I'm saying? And it's, again, it all goes back to Black people having to make a way out of no way. And white people even fucking coming and fucking gentrifying that. They gentrify prison love. Because 10 years ago, you would have laughed at Black women putting their hand up to the glass.
Getting married.
You know what I'm saying? You would have laughed at the Black women, the Black family photos in jail. But now y'all got them up and y'all got reality TV shows. The same phenomenon with Teen Mom. Teen pregnancy has been an issue in the Black community for ages.
Yeah. 12-year-olds getting pregnant.
So when little white girls do it, they get show contracts and they can buy houses and glamorize that shit. And
Black people being drunk and loitering in public wasn't cool until Jersey Shore.
It's the racism for me. It's always the racism for me, to be honest.
The aftermath of violence. And on that note,
this is a great show. Make sure that you guys go check out Black Mama Bail Out. Donate. It is the season to bail out a Black mama.
Because Mother's Day is right around the corner.
And, I mean, we appreciate the support from all of our listeners. And making sure that, you know, you guys support the people who are around you. Love is love. Don't yuck nobody's yum. But
always trust Black women.
Period. See ya.